In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're spending a few podcasts talking about what it means to be a Christian congregation, the family of God in a place, especially during a time where a pandemic adds so much stress to so many levels of our life. And we've talked about so far how the congregation is a family. We've talked about Christian freedom and Christian love. And now we continue with an exercise in Christian love and freedom, namely the wearing of masks. So here we go, the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 15. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I've said, we've spent the last few days setting the stage with a few different things. We talked about how the congregation is a family of God in this place, and it's not just like a family, it is a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God who are born by water and the Spirit and holy baptism. We've taken a look at Christian love and Christian freedom, which means that in Christ you are set free from your sin to serve your neighbor and bear with them, even when it's disagreeable and inconvenient, because you walk in the footsteps of your Savior. We've also noted briefly that we live in a time of great uncertainty, where the Word of God remains certain, while the words of man keep changing, be that the words of politicians, media, or medical research. With that foundation laid, let's go through an exercise in Christian love and freedom, namely whether or not people should wear masks during worship services at church. This is a great topic for this exercise because it's not just relevant, but because it seems like the answer should be obvious and that it shouldn't be a big deal at all. So, should people wear masks at church? The answer is yes, or it's no, or it's maybe. You probably have an opinion. And herein lies the first caution. As soon as you have an opinion about anything, you want to be right about it. And part of being right about something means that people who disagree with you must be wrong. That's how right and wrong work. The problem is that, thanks to that old sinful nature, you're prone to not put the best construction on those who disagree with you. In the case of masks, this leads to bad characterizations of the debate so that people reduce it down to a simple binary choice that's simply wrong. So, someone might characterize the mask debate as people who care about others versus people who don't care about others. Another might characterize it as people who are afraid versus people who are courageous. This is not helpful. If your goal, if your calling is to bear with one another, then it's not great to start out by saying, I care and you obviously don't, or I'm brave and you're chicken, even if you're just saying this in your own thoughts. In any congregation, there will be different opinions on masks, and I've talked to many of you at length about your reasons. I have yet to find anyone who doesn't care about others. I have yet to find anyone who considers others to be cowards. These two are often what we assume others think about us when it's not true. Remember, you're the family of God. To declare someone unloving or a coward is a serious thing to say about family members. To assume that they're thinking that is a serious thing as well. The discussion of masks is not that easy. In fact, the first thing I think we need to admit is that it's not an easy answer. There are several factors that make it a more complex discussion, and we'll talk about two of them today. First off, we still don't know that much about this COVID-19 virus. We do know that masks are helpful, at least some masks are in many situations, but that already begs the question and makes some assumptions. Before we can discuss masks with certainty, we need to answer these questions. First, is the strategy of social distancing, stay-at-home orders, and masks the best strategy for dealing with this pandemic? Second, will there be a safe and effective vaccine? And third, is it true, as some studies suggest, that one can catch COVID-19 over and over again like the common cold? In other words, will we build immunity by vaccine, or by herd immunity, or by both? The answer is that we don't know the answer to these questions. They all hinge on each other, and we won't know the answer for a few years at least. If the virus can be controlled by an effective vaccine that appears relatively soon and prevents repeated illness, then that's a great argument to wear masks and hold out until the vaccine is put in place. If such a vaccine can't be developed, or if this virus can be contracted repeatedly by the same person, then there's a good argument that herd immunity is the way to go, and social distancing measures only prolong the process. Is it sinful to hope for a vaccine? Is it sinful to bank on herd immunity? No, and no. But people who count on one or the other will act differently. Not because they're fearful, not because they're unloving, but because they are relying on a different solution. A second topic is the matter of risk. Everything we do carries an element of risk, and we balance that against the need or the reward. So despite the risk of getting sick, people would rather risk a trip to get groceries for the reward of not being hungry. Every Christian has to weigh the risk of going to church against the reward of receiving the Lord's gifts there. This also is not a simple equation because the risk is different for different people at different times. It is also not simple because one's measurement of risks may be driven by good data and common sense, or by fear and sensational news reports. Masks are part of the equation. People will wear masks or not based upon their degree of risk and their comfort level with it. But it is neither sinful to wear a mask because one's risk is higher, nor to avoid a mask because one is comfortable with greater risk. And unless you can read minds and know one's motives, then passing judgment leads you down a dangerous path. As I said, we'll have more answers and know the right thing to do a few years down the road. In the meantime, what should you do? Remember that at church, as the church, you're the family of God. You're brothers and sisters who are gathered to care for one another. Remember that you're called to act in Christian love, which means that you bear with your fellow believers even when you don't necessarily agree with them. And remember Romans chapter 15, which begins, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up." Why? That's next. It goes on to say, "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Christ, who did all things well, bore your sins, your guilt and shame, your bad decisions and wrong opinions and all reproach, not to please himself, but to save you. And having died and risen again, He sets you free to please your neighbor for his good, to build him up. Therefore, despite various opinions across a wide spectrum, this instruction and blessing hold for you, my friends in Christ. As Romans 15 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that your Son bore all of our reproach to the cross, so that we might be your holy children. Grant us humble and penitent hearts, so that we might live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify you. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Rejoice, my friends, the Lord is with you, and in Christ you are his beloved children. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.